One of the ways cities create affordable housing is by forcing private developers to build a little every time they develop property. In San Francisco, all new big residential buildings are required to include some units that are rented or sold at below market rate. That's 12 to 20% of the units is the rule. But next week, that could change. San Francisco's Prop C would give the Board of Supervisors control over how much affordable housing we require developers to build. And it would hike up that requirement to 25% affordable, at least temporarily. But opponents say the extra cost will make it so hard for developers to build, we'll actually wind up with less affordable housing in the end. KALW's Liza Veal has more.
San Franciscans know that housing is an issue that gets personal real quick, especially for Oz Erickson and Aaron Peskin, two main players in the face-off over Prop C. First, let's meet Oz Erickson. He runs the Emerald Fund, a real estate development company, and yes, he has round little Wizard of Oz glasses.
I would say that right now, we probably have done more projects in the city than anyone else, more units.
But he says building housing isn't free. Developers are already required to turn some 12% of their units into affordable housing, and Erickson says he can't go up any further. He wouldn't be able to cover the cost of building, even if he wanted to.
It sounds wonderful. And if the housing were free, it would be wonderful.
Aaron Peskin, who proposed Prop C, he doesn't buy that. Peskin is a longtime San Francisco politician who returned to the Board of Supervisors last November on a groundswell of concern about affordability in the city. Here's what he thinks about a lot of Oz Erickson's arguments.
It's hard for me to take seriously an individual who just bought a $6 million house.
The two actually live just a few doors down from each other. But never mind comparative home values. Here's exactly how Peskin's Prop C works. Right now, the affordable housing requirement is set in the charter, like the city's constitution. It says developers have to build this percentage on-site or this percentage off-site to this and that income level, and Prop C would take the rule out of the charter and put it in the hands of the Board of Supervisors so that it can be more flexible.
Board of Supervisors is committed to adjusting the percentages to make sure that we get the maximum economically feasible amount of affordable housing.
So the amount of affordable housing can go up when the market is heating up, down when the market is strapped. Erickson, the developer, actually supports this part of the proposal, the flexibility. But that's not all there is to Prop C. It will immediately hike up the number, in some cases as high as 25%, higher than any other city in the country.
It is unclear whether that number is the right number, and if the numbers need to be adjusted, we will adjust them accordingly.
Picking the exact number, that's something the city's chief economist is working on. Peskin and the other supervisors have promised that if the chief economist determines 25% is too high, then they'll bring it down, because Peskin says they do not want to scare away construction. But at the core, Peskin thinks that this is about taking back political control from developers.
The fact of the matter is a handful of developers are fighting this because they'd like to make more money. And I understand that. We just have a disagreement.
Erickson, the developer, denies that it all just comes down to greed. He helped design the 12% requirement back in 2002. But he says the whole strategy backfires if we make the number so high that building becomes impossible, which is what he's predicting. Construction will freeze. Because as a developer, he says, the income from rent won't be able to cover the cost of building the units.
If you are providing a significant portion of that of those units for free, you can't, the other units don't support it. You can't build it. And yet it's tremendously attractive. It would be wonderful if you could.
But when developers say construction will freeze, how do we know they're not just bluffing to avoid the requirement hikes?
I don't think it's that they're necessarily bluffing.
Carol Galante is the faculty director at the Turner Center for Housing Innovation at UC Berkeley. And she spent most of her career as an affordable housing developer. So she says she knows the business side.
I think it's very difficult to figure out where the tipping point is. And I think that's one of the struggles that everybody is having. Some developments are going to struggle under these new requirements, and others may not. And that's the challenge.
If it seems crazy that developers are struggling to make a profit while real estate prices are so high, Galante says we should remember two things. First,
as rents are rising, costs to develop are also rising.
The price of land and labor caught up to real estate. Construction costs have actually doubled in the last 5 years. So higher rent doesn't necessarily mean more profit. And the second thing, most of the money that projects make once tenants start paying rent, it doesn't go to the developer. Most of it goes to investors. So before building, developers want to be sure that they can cover those costs and make a profit.
And if they believe that they'll have enough rent to do that and make a reasonable profit, then they'll do it. If they feel that they can't, then they won't.
Galante says if the affordable housing requirement is raised to 25%, the projects that are most likely to break ground will be the super high rent luxury ones. The relatively moderate ones, those are the ones at risk of not getting built. So Galante says,
you'll end up with kind of a barbell effect of having housing for, you know, very low income and housing for very wealthy and nothing in the middle.
So Galante says she's less worried about the political battle with developers and more worried about what happens if they can't build.
The risk of not building is twofold. One, you aren't ever going to bring overall prices down for the large majority of people.
This is the supply and demand argument that says the less we build, the worse the shortage gets.
And then the second problem is if you stop building altogether or you slow it down so much, you aren't going to get the affordable housing or the affordable housing fees that come with that new development. So, you know, you're going to kill the goose that's laying the golden egg.
In this system, San Francisco depends on developers for a lot of its affordable housing. The public interest is yoked to the business interests. Whether that's a good or bad thing is a question bigger than Prop C. Prop C is about the number, 25%. And if it passes, expect a lot more haggling over that number. It's a fight that's not going away. For Cross Currents, I'm Liza Veal.